My concern is that if we don't, there has to be some facilitation of it. So it's really the facilitation of it that purchase or lease commercial property to operate the business out of.
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
Okay.
That's why they're given, you know, up to 3 years to find that.
Is the county doing anything to incentivize that?
We had a actually, that's a good discussion to have.
I feel like that would be something that would be really good to bring to the Board of Commissioners.
Oh, they're well aware, and we present it to them.
And it's a port issue, because these trucks are all supporting the port. It seems like the port has an obligation to be part of the solution.
I've tried to connect landowners with some of the big farms, because there is a permit path forward. There's a bunch of options. So they could park those ag trucks on a farm. If a farmer wanted to lease out a space and those trucks are servicing that farm and others, there's a permit path forward. These people want this property. They bought it so that they can live there and have their vehicles. It's just not the model we envisioned ever when that residential zoning was put in place. And it's evolved over time. So we haven't ignored it. I even suggested at one point maybe the county purchase property and lease it. That would put us in both the entrepreneur and the code and compliance. But it's an opportunity, literally. We have two examples in Umatilla County, because when I was in Umatilla County, we did something like this. There's one on Kick and Pumpkin Center, and you'll see it's a nice row. There's got to be right now 50 farm trucks parked there. Yeah. They'll go out during the harvest season.
Park their RVs and their boats and lots.
Those things. And this is no different than renting a space for an RV.
Doesn't the county have plenty of property now?
That's what needs to be done, a secure, clean.
And there's also one over on Klaus Lane where people built a fence, razor wire, security gate. But people like the model where they have. But if you're a neighbor, these folks are really nice.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to make sure.
They've been here before, have they?
The name's not, we did a partition or something for them. Oh, I know who rents property from them. That's how we know the name. The next 6 months or a year, we're probably going to have to dip our toes into that. And this sounds really cool.
It's been a year.
It'll be a year in May.
There's a maximum their first permit. Of 3 years there. Yeah. And
now we're down to 2 years.
If they haven't had any violations.
But they're like today, they're on the clock.
They're on the clock.
Yeah. Exactly. We started a year ago doing this.
So there's people that are done in
2 years.
We just have one exception.
Yep.
Cute little old man.
Yeah.
The county, we all know, has land all out throughout the county, so I think maybe people should try to get people
got 85 or 200 acres we know about, too. Right?
Space Page.
I have suggested that.
What a great south down by Love's on the way to Three
because,
Mile Farms.
Because, and the thing, too, they're the ones that are the biggest proponent for West Glen. But, you know, if you looked at the county, maybe someone needs to help try to educate these truck owners.
The operators.
Maybe find investors or group together to buy some land.
Well, they have been, because the one lady that we've tried to hire. I don't know her
Margarita?
Name.
Yeah, is there it was Margarita. Yeah.
How'd I get your phone?
Maybe we're kind of kicking the can down the road, but when these things do start to sunset, that's like, okay,
then we'll be the bad guys.
Maybe somebody is going to step forward at that point in time, because
we already are the bad guys, and it hasn't been easy. We've actually been at, we rolled this out very slowly starting two years ago. And then about a year ago, we finally said, we're really serious about it. And Caitlin started sending out warning letters. They came in and they signed an abatement order. Daisy helped us put together an abatement order that says, I know I'm in violation, and I'm going to check in every 3 months making progress. And a handful of those, Caitlin will show you in her report tonight, have actually come for these temporary permits. It's not an ideal fix, but you all, the Planning Commission, said, we don't want to run these people out of business today. Let's give them a little grace period. And that's all this really is. Mm-hmm. It's difficult. It is I think there's a business opportunity for somebody, but...
None of us.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're letting them keep them there for a certain amount of time, so they're not going to go pay rent somewhere else, some of them.
Ultimately,
they might have to.
So actually, I like your idea a lot, Commissioner Peterson. We might end up having a... We had done it in the past, but not since we've had these temporary fixes, where we had a meeting and gave, you know, listened to everybody's resources, and we gave them an out. So probably, again, within the next year, we say, you know, have a meeting with all these people of these use permits to say you can all work together. One thing we heard, and Michaela hears it better than the rest of us, they don't necessarily want to work together.
But you know what? The bottom line is, in 2 years, some of them will be out of business if they don't find a place to go.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to swallow.
Well, they don't want to their trucks together because batteries are missing.
Go missing.
Diesel's been taken out, or so. Just it's just that's
cameras.
The conflict. Yeah.
I have that happen all the time. I don't have anybody else's truck.
Secure and cameras, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like I said, it's so different in RVs and boats and those secure lots.
Yeah, you can separate every lot that somebody's using.
That's what I thought.
Fences.
Too. Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is,
it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's hard, but it's either that or you move and find someplace else, or if you can't do that, that's devastating.
It is.
Their business.
And to your point, Commissioner Kilkenny, I did talk with a port a couple of times, and they don't want to rent out, they don't want to be responsible for multiple leases, but they would agree to, like, sell a whole piece of property or have a master lease, and somebody else can pay for the master lease and charge other people that come in. And I can see where that makes sense. They don't want to be responsible for 20 different trucking operations.
It's a business for somebody.
And it is a business for somebody. Yeah, it's an opportunity.
They're also going to require those trucks to be insured all year long, and I can guarantee you those trucks are not insured all year long.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Hopefully
if they're being stored.
I just hope so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they didn't... And that's one of the reasons, too, because I think if you put them in a storage, you have to show that they're insured.
Just for fire or for full comprehensive?
No, you wouldn't have to. The fire and theft part would be up to you, but they want liability in case something happens.
That makes sense. Okay. Are we screen sharing for people online?
I think we closed them.
Did everybody
leave? No, Trip's on there.
Oh, can you see the screen, Trip?
No, nobody's screen. Yes, screen sharing.
How did it get expanded to the full thing? Whoops. I don't know how. There we go.
I have the remote.
Oh, I was like, how
you have the remote.
You guys are gonna get so tired of hearing me tonight.
Still on screen share. Hold on, I'll be right there.
No, I'm just. Oh, you just took it away. Hold on. Share. Now I gotta find your file. All I know is John's head is exactly where I need to be. Okay. Thank you, John. Okay, that should be. Can you see it now, Trip?
Steven to the rescue.
No. Wait, hold on. I got this. I totally got this. It says screen share.
So hit share.
Share.
I mean the code overview. Share.
I just did that.
Okay.
There. There's still a lot of.
Now hit the.
And you can
now
see
it says it. Now it says
there. There we go. Okay. I got it. Now.
Got it. Okay. You can take it over with the remote. Got it.
I got you.
Thank you.
Maybe. Hold on, Trip. Hang in there, buddy.
And Jim.
While you're working on that, kudos on the drone footage. That was pretty cool. That was helpful.
Yeah, man. No problem. Sorry.
Yes, sir.
I'm in a meeting. I'm sorry. Next time I go out, if you're in the area, I'll let you join.
He needs somebody to watch for planes.
That was very helpful.
I bought my husband one, and now he's buying a spray one.
Oh. That sounds expensive.
My husband has a drone, and he has so much.
Is that working?
Luckily, the spray guy's getting a new one.
You might be too far away. It's over here. Point that way.
With my head?
You might have to stand up.
Maybe my head's early this time.
I don't think so. It was working just fine.
Do you want me to do this for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
There.
We'll move this down a little bit. There. Okay.
Okay. So here's a very general overview of code compliance in Morrow County right now. Put on by myself, Caitlin Kennedy, the compliance planner. So here is our webpage here. You can go to the Morrow County page under code enforcement, where the nice yellow arrow is. The first one goes to the complaint form, which is where we encourage people to fill out their code complaint. You know, what the complaint is, what the violation is, where it's at, if they want contact from us. And then it will scramble it up into something readable and then send it to Tamara and myself, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And then beneath that lovely picture, you know, you can click on links for the code enforcement ordinances, zoning ordinances, subdivision ordinances, and solid waste ordinances if they have questions or they want to do a little bit of research.
How many do you get online forms, or do you mostly get people who just call and complain?
Just get mostly people that call and complain or come in and,
yeah,
you know, I just hand them a paper one to fill out, mm-hmm, which works. And, you know, we do it with the protection for property values, life and safety issues, protecting natural resources, and, you know, trying to enhance the livability of the county. And, you know, this can be done through a voluntary process where, you know, the property owners want to work with you or responsible parties want to work with you, or it can be done through a citation process, you know, where they don't. Here is a little diagram of the process itself. You know, we receive a complaint, we do a site visit, we decide if the complaint is valid or invalid, and we take steps from there. So typically, we'll send out a letter or a violation notice asking for contact within 30 days. You know, if they fail to reach out to us in 30 days, we send them a second letter. They fail to do that, but we have sent it certified, so we know that they got it. We can proceed forward at the discretion of whether or not to issue a citation.
Do you, I mean, we tried that, and about half wouldn't take the certified. Don't know if they took, we assume they took the regular because we never got it back, but yeah. Do you have it, is it in the code that even if you don't sign the certified, it's still considered?
So it's at the discretion within the planning department on how to proceed, but we've also, you know, been in touch and gotten counsel from Justin Nelson on, you know, what counts as service. So when they are returned, and turns out it's okay to post on their gate, and you know, you can send it on, you know, regular postage. You can send it certified. If that gets returned, you can post it on their property and consider that served, because that is something that we're dealing with. But I go so far as to color code it. You know, red gets your attention, and that'll be the official or the initial contact for a violation warning or violation notice requesting contact within 30 days. You know, if for some reason they need more time, then we have an abatement order, a corrective action plan. Which is in blue. And that just says, hey, you have so many days to fix it. You know, and you acknowledge that you're in violation of these. If you need additional time, come talk to me. We'll work something out. But in the meantime, if you just let it expire, you don't fix the problem, you continue to, you know, ignore contact with the planning department or the compliance planner, then I have your signature, I'm going to issue a citation. You've already acknowledged it. And then the completeness review or completeness letter, which just says, thank you, this is no longer an issue, it's been resolved, we'll close it out.
That's a newer feature. I think it's super smart. It's a
it makes people feel like
they were recognized.
Yes,
they're
yeah,
recognized.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
that they don't have to worry about it. That yes. that it's done.
Yeah,
you know. And then this is the non-compliance. Starts with the violation notice, goes with the second letter, explaining, you know, a little bit more in depth the violations that we're trying to address with them. And then it goes to a citation at our discretion, which we work with IJC, and they'll give us a court date for them. And then we'll go before the judge and kind of present our case. And usually they want to work with us at that point.
Yeah. Isn't she good? I do have to put a plug in. Our justice court was previously a county deputy and also did code enforcement in another county. He knows mm-hmm. the system pretty well. So oh. It's really, really helpful, I think.
Yes, he is very helpful. Yes, and he's very fair. Like, if they're, every situation is different. If they have, you know, medical limitations, mm-hmm. you know, like they had a surgery. They've been out for 6 weeks. They haven't been able to do anything, you know, but they didn't want to talk to me. Then he's like, well, if you want to work with us, then we'll give you 30 more days to, fix the issue or come up with a reasonable resolution. Mm-hmm. So these are three county codes that we frequently see violations in. I've provided lovely pictures. This is, and these are all pictures from Morrow County.
Just, I haven't licensed my fuel truck in years. It's
absurd. So the first one is nuisance vehicle storage.
It's not nuisance.
You know, so it's either not currently licensed or registered for operation. It's being used to store junk, solid waste, or waste. It has parts that's been discarded, dismantled, partially dismantled, stripped, rusted, damaged, wrecked, or just sitting there as lawn art. You know, and I get that some of these have an emotional component. Like, they're collectors. They're collecting vintage cars, but they're letting them sit out on their property and rust and decrease in value. And maybe it's something that they had a lot of emotional attachment to. But one thing I try to ask them is, well, how are you preserving its value? Like, you're not. So that is kind of one of our
new things.
Yeah, new things. But solutions, something that we offer if they're interested in. If it has a clean title, Good Shepherd has a vehicle donation program, and it's for, you know, cars, trucks, RVs, boats. As long as it has a clean title, they will go through a third party to pick it up, scrap it, and then they take that money towards a scholarship program for medical students, which is really nice. A lot of them still aren't overly interested in donating, but you know, for those that do, they get a tax break. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 5.200, general nuisances. So this is a really lengthy, it's not really lengthy, but it's like a good 2 pages of fine print in our code that lists waste and garbage accumulation, yard debris, unlawful posting of placards, an assortment of things. But what we're really dealing with is the waste and garbage accumulation. You know, for like this picture, for example.
And that's really
what's
recent.
Wrong with that picture?
Yeah,
find two of the same things.
See?
Oh, that's funny.
Coming.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Oh my same God. House.
It's
no different houses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, none of the same properties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And one of the ways that we've come up, I've worked with Public Works, and we have a free transfer station voucher right now that we're offering to those that live outside city limits. You know, it's good for one load to the dump, which you might need a few for situations like these, but it's something that we are offering to kind of help it and get the ball rolling.
If the financial hardship was the only barrier, we'd probably find a way to give you multiple vouchers.
Yes.
But typically, it's an emotional...
Where's the one down? Is there one here? Where's the one in this area? Like
the transfer station's right on Bombing Range Road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the intersection. Well, not quite, but it's very close to the intersection of 730 and Bombing Range.
It's like front edge, isn't it?
Why
do
I not even pay attention?
Well, yeah, because if you're heading north and you turn too soon, you'll go into the transfer station. If you wait about 100 yards, then you'll hit the freeway eastbound. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
hard to see in the dark, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. I was just curious.
They have a little A-frame house by the scale.
Yeah.
And last year, the county did a hazardous waste. Mm-hmm. And they do that every five years or so.
Well, they're actually doing it again this year.
Oh, good.
It'll be in May, at the end of May. Oh, nice. They'll do another hazardous waste event.
Hey, then, does your jurisdiction encompass the city limits, or is it just county?
It's just county.
Okay, I thought so. I was just checking.
Mm-hmm. I know that Boardman has their own city code enforcement. Erigan has their own city code enforcement, but unfortunately, city enforcement comes from the sheriff's office for like Ione and Hebner and
Lexington. We don't have a contract.
Except you don't have a contract.
Yeah. It's really tough when you.
Which we're still part of their service area, so I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the sheriff, have you had problems with confrontation with owners when you go out there, or people accusing you of trespassing, or?
Thankfully, I do most of my enforcement just from the right of way and the roadway. I'll stop and I take pictures, and then I do the violation notices. So I don't see them or make contact with them on their property. I have had, not so compliant or real graceful people address those violations. Usually by phone or in person at planning commission.
It's okay, you can stay. A gentleman just wasn't
they're
very,
just not
very happy.
Yes, yes.
And Caitlin always has the option of asking for a deputy escort.
Right.
Or posting it on the fence. That was the latest one. I don't know why we haven't done that before, but that was pretty smart, too.
Yes. Yes.
Somebody's living room outside.
Yeah.
They're living in there?
I think a few people living out there.
Yeah.
Okay, but that one is...
Hard times, bud.
Uh-huh. Yeah. This is Morrow County zoning ordinance for temporary uses. The biggest thing we're seeing is people living in RVs. So, what we're looking for are the slide outs out, are the couches out, are there electrical and sewer hookups?
Those couches dry out half the year.
Dog finish.
Yes. And our code does specifically state that recreational vehicles shall not be used for housing or residential purposes. So there are caveats to that. For those who are building a house, they can get a temporary zoning permit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that different than the state?
Different than the state.
So we probably will have some changes depending on where the legislature goes, because there's this trend just to get people in a shelter to recognize RVs as permanent. And I think I understand both sides of that. But there's long-term safety, structural integrity. If you go out to an RV park out of here, it fills a busload. Like, there's families living in RVs year-round. And it's where they can afford to live. It's better than being out in the open. And several years ago, Oregon passed a law. Used to be RV parks could say you can only be here 6 months out of the year, can no longer limit it. So a lot of RV parks become permanent housing for people.
I've been researching that heavily lately.
And there's a lot of people, that's all they can afford.
And Aon does have an RV park, though.
Two.
Can we use language to state the overall condition of the RVs? Do we know if that would be a caveat? I'm just looking from about protecting the county's interests and the citizenry, like saying, hey, you know, if you have an RV that looks like this, I don't know how you would quantify that with a definition.
That's not structurally.
Yeah.
The other thing is, how do you get rid of it without, nobody wants it.
Set it on fire.
It is. There's no solution to that either. That's why Caitlin, we've talked some, she belongs to a county or a statewide code enforcement group. It's a problem statewide.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're untitled.
One.
I mean, you can't give them away. You can't haul them to the dump.
No. Nope.
They sit there.
The landfills don't want them because of the asbestos, mm-hmm. especially in the older ones. And that testing costs money.
Very many with asbestos in mobile homes, maybe.
Oh, yeah. They won't take them either because it acts the way the axles and all kinds of different things are.
Yeah, it's a...
See, and I feel like it's a bigger problem, right? It's not just one part, but to your point.
But you would have to dismantle that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's burdensome.
Well, I do know one that was dismantled in one of the parks.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And they hauled it off.
Sometimes they melt when the house on fire.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes a couple of them melt.
A couple of them.
Only the thin aluminum.
The other thing we offer is a hardship variance. So if they need close at-home care, or a family member does, then we can provide a permit that allows someone to live on the property, either in a manufactured home or in a ADU or in a RV.
I thought Morrill County didn't allow ADUs.
We don't, but if it's a hardship variance, it's temporary.
So if your hardship... How do you reinforce, you have to, the hardship's over, you have to remove that manufactured home. How do you enforce that?
Annual review. I mean, either every year, or the new code we just adopted says you have to renew that every 2 years, so they don't have to get dinged $150 each year. But they have to document it. Oh yeah, I'm still, need to have a medical person. And it works really well for some people. Who don't want to go through the expense of moving in a permanent mobile home, retrofitting a septic system.
Mm-hmm. But it's even if you live in a temporary manufactured home, it's hardship. It has to be moved out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to say even if say there's an existing manufactured home. If I remember right, the county ordinance says, say you have enough room to build a stick-built home. You still have to get rid of the manufactured home in, was it 30 days?
30 days.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a bit tight, but I'm sure the county's probably willing to give some variance a little, as long as efforts are being made.
See what our new
Maybe. We'd like to build a shop.
It's going to be a minute before
really
we update the code again. Did you have more slides, Caitlin?
That one's the last.
But I don't know if that's what happened. Definitely a drop for sure.
And then just a couple statistics. So I haven't been here a full year yet. So I just did the last 6 months. You know, we've been able to close about 33 complaints resolved, where we have 13 open corrective action plans and issued 6 citations. And for some of those citations, it's going to court multiple times.
How's our tow truck guy doing?
Which one?
The one on Coonsie.
That had all the stuff, yeah.
That was trying to
I drove by there. Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah.
His son was going to set up shop. He's still there.
Yep, he's still there. That's a nice big file that I'm digging through.
He must have been up on a year, too, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. I think
that was
so.
Like the first one, it seems like.
Yeah. Because his was... Was it brought before commission to be revoked?
His was this, yes,
yeah,
and then
was,
they
yeah.
renewed it.
Because he had a plan, supposed plan.
Supposed plan.
He was trying to be honest on there.
The water spreading issue, did that not get appealed to the county?
Oh, let's, are you, is this your last slide?
Yeah, this is my last
slide. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that. It's
isn't
not
that nice? Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to
see. She's so
put
organized.
A nice spin on it.
Doesn't she? I know. Very much so, yeah.
Good job, Caitlin. Our results. Very helpful.
Yeah. She kind of keeps us on our toes. So, the Port of Morro land application of wastewater, the port appealed this, the county's planning, county's decision, the just one condition, and the Board of Commissioners changed that condition. So instead of a, did we have a 150-foot buffer? They took it down to like 20-foot buffer.
Wow.
And then the deadline to appeal that was last week. Or
was this wastewater application? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. And the deadline for them to appeal it to LUBA was either yesterday or today, and they just figured that they would save their money.
Save their money for
that's too bad.
Chair, if it's okay, I just wanted to, I'm looking at, oh, so it's now 90 days.
To remove it?
To remove it.
Okay.
I'm just
curious. Yeah, it was one of those.
Yeah.
That's actually reasonable.
I think so, too. We did some good things with the code update, and there's more, but it's going to be a while before we do. And next time it's going to be in small pieces, because that was a killer. So, with Daisy's help. I just wanted to point out one... So we included January and February, I call them newsletter, but it's the update. So I go in front of the board once a month. Most departments go once a quarter, except for myself and Public Works, I think. But I just wanted to point out in the February update, Clint, who's not here, Caitlin keeps a database of, we keep track of our permits. It's a new spreadsheet. Several people worked on it. Daisy, Clint, Stephen worked on it. We go over it every Tuesday at our staff meeting. There's a nice long list of completed, completed, completed. But we've got projects that have been dangling out there for a long time, and I don't know how things we kept track of them previously. Anyway, it's good. But I, for purposes of the budget, I asked Clint to put together. Caitlin keeps the database, and this table on page 121 of your packet, we had a really big year last year in 2024, so we almost doubled from the previous year. And it'll sound like I'm whining, and maybe I am a little bit, but we've survived. We had a 50% turnover in that same year.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So a staff of three, we got three new people, and we doubled our permit load.
Wow.
Or we increased it by 50%. Mm-hmm. So... and we also did some big things, like a really major code update. I wouldn't have done it if Daisy hadn't, you know, been here, because it was, I wouldn't, there's just not enough hours in a week to do that. So, yay team.
Thank you. No, that's great.
Yeah. Also, not sure what page it is, but Clint is here, because we have so many other projects that are going on, like long-range planning projects, which really is probably why you wanted to be on the Planning Commission. We've been working on this Columbia River Heritage Trail plan. Clint's really the project manager, keeps us online, is a direct liaison for the consultant. If you have time, there's a QR code here. You can take the survey. And the Heritage Trail is a plan. We'll present it to you when this is done, and then it'll go to the board. We probably won't amend it as a formal comprehensive plan amendment, but so you can review and give some input. That's why I grew up to be a planner, this kind of stuff, like really cool projects.
Do you have any interns helping you like before?
We do right now. We have Alina. She's in her second year, and we're going to find out tomorrow what her summer schedule looks like. Last year we had Karen, and she comes back. She hasn't been, did she come this Christmas break to visit us?
No, I think she's been
the one
after school though.
Done some great stuff. She's at OSU, and the person before is at Eastern Oregon University. And Alina's been 2 years, and I try to give them something they can put their stamp on, like a project, like help with this. And they have done that. It's been a little bit harder with Alina because she's really interested in public health, but she helped with like some of the outreach events for the nitrate project we're working on.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And also, some of these attachments, like the January update, has this Q&A page about what this drinking water roadmap project is. And that's kind of the highlights of that stuff. And then Caitlin is really the, we're calling him a project manager because we have an agreement with ODOT to do an interchange area management plan at Tower Road. Super busy intersection, a lot going on. We don't have to pay out-of-pocket county money, but there's a consultant, so Caitlin's keeping that going and on task, and then I get to just pop in, and Jim will help with that as well, more of the planning work on it. And then we also, probably starting this summer, we're going to update our entire transportation system plan. So that's this. I brought this in case I needed to reference it when we were going over the Boardman. But some of those standards in the subdivision ordinance that were referenced in those Boardman findings are also referenced here. So this is kind of the big picture of what your roads are, rail, bike, air facilities, and then what the standards are. It also includes a list of capital projects that the county will want to have either through county funding or other funding. So we work really closely with Public Works on that. And we'll start this summer sometime, and that'll be about a two-year process. If somebody from the Planning Commission wants to be on the Technical Advisory Committee, you can think about it. You don't have to let us know tonight. But and Caitlin's also helping project manager for that.
Have we had any inquiries on, like, the 10-acre?
Oh, yeah.
Lots.
I've spent so much time talking to people, and then they're like, "Oh, it's not easy."
Well, it's not cheap. I mean, I'm amazed at how many people are like, "Oh," and I'm like, "I can tell you, John can tell you."
It's going to be expensive.
What 10-acre lots? Sorry,
we in the county we made it that it was able to break out, because you know it's 160 acres on part on some land, but that people could purchase 10 acres to build a home on. We had some opposition, quite a bit, but it's the most expensive thing you've ever done is try to build a house if you're smart on 10 acres or 40 or however. But there's a lot of interest, but nobody, I just didn't know if anyone's moved forward, because I don't think they realize how expensive it is when you don't have water power.
And the difficulty is all of the, Stephen, could you pull up a map of the county? This is if you just want to take a couple minutes. So back in the day, I'm looking at Carl because it's even before our time, Carl. When the county had their original land use plan acknowledged by the state, we set aside a bunch of rural residential, suburban residential property on the north part of the county. And that was really matching a pattern of growth that had really already been established. We didn't do any of that in the south part of the county. So in the south, central and south part of the county, you have city and urban growth boundary and farm ground. In the north part of the county, like outside of Boardman, you have farm residential 2-acre. Outside of Irrigan, you have some other 2-acre zoning. There isn't anything like that in the south end of the county. Since I think 2000, right around 2000, there was a court case, some rules changed at the state level. all of those 1-acre zones became 2-acre zones. And if you're 2 acres, you're not considered urban. But any land that's rezoned after that time, if you're under 10 acres, you're considered urban. And I don't know what the magic was, but 10 acres is the magic statewide. So somebody could come in the central part of the county and say, I want to rezone 80 acres to 2-acre parcels. The bar for that is extremely high. And so we said, well, let's adopt a rural residential 10-acre zone. It's in our ordinance, but nobody's made an application to apply to rezone their property to apply the 10-acre zone.
So that you can do 8 10 7 out of an 80.
You could, but that in and of itself is difficult to do.
That's a ton of money.
Well, so just the planning piece. I'm not even talking about the construction engineering piece. The planning piece, the bar is